The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are now learning Simin Pei He of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the laws of a fire on Shabbos. By means of introduction, we have to point out that the situation of fires in the olden days is different than it is today. It used to be that most people lived in a suburban or rural environment, so that a fire in someone's house might destroy their home, but it wouldn't destroy all the homes around. Consequently, many of the laws that we find in regard to a fire that breaks out on Shabbos are not really relevant today, when there is a much more of a potential of danger to human life in practically every fire. As we know, whenever there is any danger to life, we must break Shabbos in order to prevent it. If we live in a city and a fire breaks out in our home, even if there'd be no one else living in the home at the time, if everyone else has been evacuated, there's a very significant chance that if the fire spreads to the next home and then to the home after that, that someone's life would be endangered. Consequently, the poskim say that for people who live in a city, if a fire breaks out, they must do whatever is necessary to stop it from spreading, even if it involves chilul Shabbos min haTorah. Even if someone lives in a home in a rural area where there's no other homes nearby, they have to take into account, will nearby trees catch on fire? Will that start a forest fire? Is there a potential that there might be children who are hidden in the house someplace? Whenever there's at all any danger to human life, we must do whatever's necessary to put out the fire. But Chazal were speaking about a case where the fire did not involve danger to human life. It only entailed danger to people's property. And therefore, their attitude toward an outbreak of fire is going to be significantly different than the attitude that poskim have today. So let's start Halacha Aleph. Im chas v'sholom nafla d'leika b'Shabbos. If, God forbid, a fire breaks out in a home on Shabbos, choshu rabbeseinu zichrona levracha, Chazal were concerned, ki bal habayis ubnei beso, that the members of the household, asher shom hadleika, in which there is a fire, im yisasku b'hatzala, v'hema nechbozim ubihulim amamonim, if they are engaged in trying to rescue property, and then they are all overwhelmed and anxious regarding their money, shema mitoch kach yishkachu, maybe through this they will forget, shehayom Shabbos, that today is Shabbos, and that they can't do malacha, v'yechabu esatleika, and they might come to extinguish the fire. Al kein osru lahatzo afilo chafotzim, shehein mutarim betilto, therefore, Chazal forbade us from even saving those articles that are not mukzah, that they'd be permitted to be moved, lemakam shemutarim lahotzi, even to take them to a place that is mutter to take them to. Meaning, even though you're taking it to a place which has an eruv, or a place which has is another Rosh Hashanah Yachad within the same domain, even that would be forbidden, because we're concerned that someone might come to extinguish the fire. V'rak mashu tzarech lo lahayom, mutter lo lahatzo, and the only thing that people are allowed to save is that which they need for today. Kate said, how does this work? Nafla deleika b'lel Shabbos kodem hasuda, if a fire broke out on Friday night before the Friday night meal, matzo mazon gimel su'udas, so they could save enough food that they would need for the upcoming three meals of Shabbos. Haroi la'adam, the amount which is needed for a person They could say it per person. Haroi labehema, labehema. Any amount that's needed for their animals, they could save per animal. Ubashachris, but if the fire breaks out in the morning time, before the morning seuda, mazon beisudas, they could save enough food that they need for two meals. Ubamincha, mazon seuda achas. And if it's in the afternoon, before shalosh shudas, then they can save enough food for a single meal. And what happens if a fire breaks out after shalosh shudas time? Then basically, they can't save anything, because they already ate their three meals of Shabbos. V'yesh b'kli echad maicholim harbe. And if one utensil has many foods in it, kigon sal mole kikoros. For example, you have a basket that's full of many loaves of bread. V'chavis mileya yayin, or you have a barrel that's full of wine, ukedoma, and the like. Kevin shemotzia b'pam echas, since you're only taking it out in one shot, mutar, it is permissible to take out the whole thing. You don't have to start separating which foods you need and which foods you don't. V'chein, imparas sodin ukedoma. Similarly, if a person spreads out a sheet or the like, the kovatzbo kol mashiyochel lahotzi, and he gathers in it all that he wants to take out, mimaychalin umimashkaos, from the food and drinks, umotzin bepamechas, and he brings it out at one time, mutar, this is permissible to do. Gam mutar lo lahotzi koha kelim, shehu tzorech lishtamish behem hayom, he would also be permitted to take out any articles which he needs to use that day. For example, articles of clothing that he wants to wear that day, so he would be allowed to save them. Halacha beis, v'omer la'acherim, one can say to others, boil v'hitzilu lachem, come and save for yourself. The ko'echad yechad matzo mazon, and each individual can come save food, shehut sarachlai, which he can use, o kli echad, or one utensil, shemachzik afil haber, which can hold a lot of food in it. Varehu shel matzo, and it belongs to the one who rescued it. Kevin shebaabayas hifkir, since the baabayas made it ownerless, v'zachazem in a hefker, and this person who retrieved it, it's as if he took it from an ownerless situation. V'imhu yare shemayim, and if the one who is rescuing has fear of heaven, umachzer l'bal habayis mashehitzo, and he returns to the bal habayis that which he saved, kevan sheyodea shelo hefker beretzono, since he knows that the bal habayis didn't willingly give it up and make it ownerless. Mutlo lekachas schar hatzala. So if he does plan to give it back, he's still permitted to take payment for the fact that he saved these articles. Ve'ein zos schar Shabbos. This is not considered payment for Shabbos work. Kevin shimitzad hadin hakohu shelo. Since as far as the legal aspect is concerned, all of it belongs to the one rescuing, and therefore, the fact that he gives most of it back to the original owner, and he keeps some of it, that doesn't mean that he's getting paid for the work that he did. Umikomakab, nevertheless, midas chasidus, it is considered scrupulous, shelo lito schar al tereh chatzala shebeshabbos, that the one who's rescuing should not take payment for the work that he did of rescuing on Shabbos, afa pi she'eino schar Shabbos, even though it is not considered payment for Shabbos work, ki achosid yesh lo levata mishalo b'chol davar, because one who is scrupulous should always be forthcoming from his own in all matters, sheyesh bo nidnud avera, in situations where there is even the slightest tinge of sin involved. So therefore, although the one who's rescuing really has the right to keep everything, and it is proper to give back the articles to the original owner, even so, if one does so, he's entitled to keep payment, and it's not considered schar Shabbos, as if he has worked in Shabbos. Nevertheless, the most scrupulous thing to do is to give it all back and not to keep anything, so that there shouldn't be even the slightest association with sin. Halacha Gimel. V'kol zos, all of this that we said, that a person is allowed to save that which he needs for that day, rak l'makom shemutarim lahotzi l'sham, is only allowing one to take out to a place that it is permissible to carry out to. Avalamakam shasurim lahotzi, however, to an area to which one is forbidden to carry, such as a Rishus HaRabim or a Carmelis, asur lahatso shum davar, it is forbidden to save anything at all. Ach begodim sheyacholim elav sham, however, clothing that one could wear, mutur lo lilbosh, he would be allowed to get dressed in them, v'la'atof, and to wrap himself, kol mashiyachol, whatever he can. Umotzi afilo l'rishus harabim, and he'd be allowed to take it out even to rishus harabim, because there's no prohibition of wearing clothing into a rishus harabim, even if it's many layers of clothing, one on top of the other, as long as it is still keeping him warm. Uposhet, and then he takes it off, v'chozer, and he goes back, v'lovish umotzi, and he could go back in and get dressed again with more clothing and take that out. Afilo kol hayom, he could do this all day long. V'yachol lomer gam la'acherim, and he's even allowed to say to other people, bo'o v'hatzilo, come, and you also save clothing, u'matzilin kain, and then they can also dress up in as much clothing as they can and wear that out into Rishus HaRabim. Halacha dalet. So until now we were discussing a home in which the fire broke out. But how about the neighboring homes? The fire hasn't reached there yet, but there's a concern that the fire will get there. So he says, v'habatim, and the homes, she'ein shamadleika, where the fire is not there yet, ela she'ein krovim, but they're nearby, v'yureim she'tegia gam lehem, and they're afraid that the fire will get to them also, Kevan Shehem Einum Behulim Kolkach, since they are not in such a state of frenzy, and therefore there's not such a concern that they would come to extinguish a fire, Mutarim Lahatso Kol Davar Lemakam Shemutarim Lahotzi Lasham, they would be permissible to save everything and take it out to a place that one is allowed to carry there. Yesh Omim, there are those that say, Digam ma'os ushar dvarim yekarim, that even money and other valuable things, afopi shehein mukotzin, even though really they are muktza and you're not allowed to move them in Shabbos, mutar lahatzilan min hafsid hagadol hapitomi, it's still permissible to save them from a large and sudden loss, kigon deleika, such as fire, oshetef mayim, or a flood, o gzela, or from theft, ayidei mashemanichim aleihem eza dover maicho, by putting on them some form of food, umetautelin osan kein biyachad, and then moving them together with the food. So, for example, if someone would want to save his wallet, what he would do is, he could put some food on top of the wallet, and then carry the two of them out collectively, again, to a place where he's allowed to carry. Aval b'makam acher ein shum hetel talto kemukse. But of course, in any other situation where it's not an issue of rescuing valuable property, one would not be permitted to move muksa just because there happens to be some food on top of it. V'yesh makilin old yoser, and there are those that are even more lenient than this. Shafilu levadon yucholun letautulan, even to take the valuables by themselves, it would be permissible to move them, mishum demekom hefsed gadol pitomi, because in the situation of a sudden great loss, nitche iser muktza, the prohibition of muktza is pushed away, and you'd be allowed to move everything. As long as you're careful not to carry things out to a place to which it is forbidden to carry. Halacha Hey. Kol Sifrei Kodesh. Any Svarim. Bein Shehein Biksav, Bein Shehein Bitfus, whether they are handwritten or whether they are published. Matzilin osa mipnei hadleika, one would be allowed to save them from a fire, oshetef mayim, or from a flood, ukedoma, and the like. Afilu lachotzer o lemavoy, even to a courtyard or to an alleyway, sha'asurin lahotzi l'sham machma shelo asu erev, where it is normally forbidden to carry there because an erev was not made. Vuhu, and this is talking about kishahein mitukanim beinyan shayumoel erev chatzeres oshtufin mavoz. This is only in a case where an erev would have helped. Vaide goy mutilat silin afilo derech wishes harabim. And by means of using a non-Jew, it would be permissible to save even into a bona fide Rishus HaRabim. So this requires a little bit of clarification. Previously we said that because of the frenzied state that someone would be in when a fire breaks out in their home, that it's forbidden to save almost anything except for the things that he needs for that day. And even that can only be saved to a place where he's allowed to carry there, such as where there is an Erev. Now, in Halacha Hey, we are saying that Sifrei Kodesh are different. They have Kedusha to it, and therefore we treat it differently. And consequently, one would be allowed to save all of his Svarim, or all of his Chedushei Torah, and to transport it to a place where either there is an Erev, or there's no Erev, but there could have been an Erev. As far as to a bona fide Rishus HaRabim, he says that then it would only be permissible to have a non-Jew transport it. But in this case, there's no concern of Amir al-Akam. You'll be allowed to tell or to ask a non-Jew directly to please take it out. Now, if someone has too many Svarim in their home to be able to rescue them, in any case, they'd be allowed to tell a non-Jew to put out the fire, just for the sake of rescuing the Svarim. Maybe this was the reason that traditionally, it was always understood that if a fire would break out in a situation where there was no danger to life, which is not the current situation in most cases, then immediately they would call the non-Jews and ask them to please come put out the fire. Because every home would certainly have Svarim in there, and for the sake of Svarim, you'd be allowed to ask a non-Jew to put out the fire. As far as calling the fire department is concerned, so if there's a danger to life, once again, of course you must call the fire department. But if one is in one of those rare situations where there's no danger to life, but there is a danger to their Svarim, they should not call the fire department directly, but they could certainly ask a non-Jew to call them. Halacha Vav, Matzilin tik ha-sefer im ha-sefer. They could save, when they're saving Svarim, they'd be allowed to save also the case which the Svarim is in, v'tik ha-tfilin im ha-tfilin, as well as the case of the tfilin along with the tfilin. In other words, the case is considered subordinate to the Sefer or to the Tefillin. Halacha Zayin. Sefer Torah kodem lahatzel l'shar svarim. If a person has multiple svarim to save, there's no question that precedence should be given to a Torah scroll. Halacha Ches. And now we are going to reiterate what we mentioned in our introduction. Kishiyesh chash suffix sekanis nefashas. If there's any concern about a possible danger to human life, mutar lechabos es hadleika, it is permissible to extinguish the fire. In fact, not just is it just permissible, it's actually obligatory. Ulechein, therefore, b'mekoma shehay Yisraelim dorim bein agoyim, in those places where Jews dwell among non-Jews, mutar lechabos es hadleika afilu hu bebeis hagoy, it is mutar to extinguish a fire even if it is in the home of a non-Jew, because we know that it might be endangering the lives of Jews as well. V'kol lefi ha'inyan, and each situation is different. V'davka l'chabos mutar, and it is specifically to extinguish the fire that is permitted. Avol asur l'chalel Shabbos kidei l'hatzu mamon, but one would not be allowed to desecrate Shabbos in order to rescue possessions. V'im avar v'chilel, and if one did violate Shabbos and extinguish a fire when there was no danger to life, Yelech el harav levakesh sheyoreh tshuva, he should go to a rav to ask him how to guide him in terms of his tshuva process. Now the reason why the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch speaks about this specifically over here, as opposed to the rest of the Sefer, where he doesn't talk about, well, what happens if someone violates it, how do they find out what to do for the tshuva process, is clearly because it's such a common scenario that people are in a frenzy over the loss of their possessions that they would extinguish a fire in order to save their possessions. And that's why he has to tell us that one who did violate it should consult a Rav to find out what the tshuva process entails. In the days of the Gemara, if a candle would fall on Shabbos, one would not be allowed to move it. They would be required to let the candle burn itself out. Now, in today's homes, the situation is different, and if there is a potential for the candle to cause other things to catch on fire, so therefore, in almost all cases, one must move the candle to safety. Now, if the only way to safely pick up the candle would be in its normal manner, then one would be required to do so. But if one could pick up the candle using a backhanded method, in other words, pick it up in an abnormal fashion, then one should do so. For example, by picking it up in between fingers, which one does not normally use to grasp things. Of course, this is only when it won't endanger people's lives. If a candle falls onto a tablecloth and a tablecloth catches on fire, if there's any danger to human life, one must extinguish the fire from the tablecloth. But if there's plenty of time and there's an opportunity to do so, it would be better to take the tablecloth and move it to a place where it would just burn itself out and it would not allow anything else to catch on fire. So, for example, perhaps to dump it into the bathtub might be effective, assuming that there's no curtains or other things nearby that might catch on fire. If the tablecloth is in a safe location, a person would be allowed to pour a colored liquid, around the perimeter of the tablecloth so that the fire does not spread anywhere beyond. In other words, the liquid is not extinguishing the fire, it is merely preventing it from spreading. And the malacha of mechaber, of extinguishing, is only to extinguish, to put out the fire. But to put liquid there to prevent it from spreading would be permissible. The same is true if the tablecloth is on the table. One would be allowed to take, let's say, grape juice and pour it around the perimeter of the fire so that the fire can't spread anywhere else. However, to use water or seltzer, the poskim have issues with because it might involve the malacha of milabin, of cleansing the cloth. If an electrical appliance begins to overheat and start smoking, where there's a danger that it's going to burst out into flames, one should unplug it if it is safe. If there is a non-Jew available, it is preferable to ask a non-Jew to do so. But otherwise, when there's a danger to human life, there's no question that it should be unplugged. If possible, the plug should be taken out in a way that would involve a shinoi, a not normal method of doing so. assuming again that that will not cause more danger. If one sees that a candle is leaning and it's about to fall, the best approach might be to put a metal tray underneath it so that no damage can be caused if it falls. To summarize, since we must do whatever is necessary to prevent danger to human life, if there's a way to evade being Mechallel Shabbos where it will not cause more danger to people, then one should do so. Otherwise, we have to do whatever is necessary, Chillul Shabbos min HaTorah or Midrabbanan, in order to make sure that a fire does not endanger people's lives.